to spend a little bit of our time this evening talking about Martha. Whenever I mention that name and you think of Martha from the context of the Bible, particularly the New Testament, what do you think of? What occasion comes to your mind? Well, Martha was the one that was too busy to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him as He taught and as He spoke. I've been guilty of making that presumptuous statement regarding Martha and, in a sense, summarizing her life and who she was in that single occurrence that's recorded for us in the book of Luke. And oftentimes when we talk about Martha, we talk about her in a negative sense, with a negative connotation and from a negative perspective, because she was the one that was too busy to sit and give her attention to those truly important things. But this evening, I'd like to take a few moments to see if we can clear up that misconception, because Martha's mentioned not just in that one occasion in the New Testament, but she pops up three or four times. And I'd like to look at her spiritual progression, the growth that she makes throughout her spiritual journey and her service to God as a disciple of Jesus. Be turning with me, if you will. We'll start there in the account that we just referenced in Luke chapter 10, and this is what's recorded for us. And oftentimes when we think of Martha, this is what immediately comes to our mind, is this single instance here, and we allow this one event that's recorded for us to just dictate everything that we think and every presumption that we have about this woman. But let's just start our study right here, and we'll take a few things away from this account. We'll look at some other passages where she's involved, and let's see if she progresses or digresses as a disciple of Jesus. There in Luke chapter 10, look at my reading, verse 38. Now it happened as they, and speaking of Jesus and his disciples, now as they went, they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she came and approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." So as you read through this account here, who kind of stands out? At least in the sense of who stands out as the positive example, the one that we want to model our life and our decisions after. We look there and we read that, and I want to be like Martha. I want to choose the good part. I want to focus on those things that are spiritual and give my attention to those. I want to be like Mary who did that. Unlike Martha, getting so caught up in this physical world and the things that's here and now and temporary, I want to be like Mary. Martha isn't a bad guy, but it's pretty obvious reading right here that in this particular account, she doesn't measure up to the standard of her sister. She hasn't reached the good standing that Mary has as she's there at the feet of Jesus listening to Him teach and to Him speak. Let me ask you, who do you relate most to in this story? You relate more to Mary, the dedicated, faithful disciple of Jesus, always taking every opportunity to sit and to learn and to spend time in God's Word? Or you find yourself maybe a little bit more like Martha? You find yourself distracted by this world that we live in, by these physical things that surround us. I don't know about you, but I find myself, although I want to be like Mary, sometimes the reality is that I find myself more like a Martha than I do a Mary. Who would you say you're more like? We consider this, and as you think about this, we probably all would say, at least to some degree, I'm more like Martha than I wish I were. I wish I were as dedicated as Mary was all the time, but I find myself letting this world and the worries and the cares and concerns and responsibilities I have sometimes just distract me to the degree that I kind of lose sight of the big picture of what I need to be doing. Man, if you find yourself, I was talking a little bit with Dave this morning on the way out, if you find out that it's your turn to teach on Wednesday night, how much time do you give in preparation to that? Do you take time and do you dedicate an ample amount of time in study and in preparation or in song leading? You sit down and think through your songs and, okay, how can I make this flow together? And are you ready to lead those with vigor whenever you come here? Or you just kind of get here and say, well, I've got a class on Wednesday night. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to answer the questions in my book, and we're just going to go through that and not going to really give my fullest effort to the teaching of God's Word. With work and with family and supper and winding down and relaxation and my television shows, my friends, and with the rest that I got to get at night, I find myself not having enough time to do all of the things that I want to do spiritually. Where within our life does discipleship, therefore, fit in? Like Martha, sometimes we get distracted by worldly things. I don't mean that in a negative sense. It wasn't worldly things in a negative, wrong sense what Martha was caught up in. She was cooking. She was serving. She was helping. But she was focused on those physical things, and she missed what her sister didn't. So if you think about Martha, ladies, you can especially probably appreciate this. Whenever you got company coming over, whenever someone's coming to your house, and you know, how much time do you spend preparing for them? I remember growing up, from time to time we'd have gospel meetings, and whenever gospel meeting preacher came, well, we always made sure to have him over to our house, and I always dreaded those days, because when I was young at the house there, Mom would spend 3, 4, 5 hours in preparation, cleaning the house, all of the little things that never got done, we'd have to do in preparation for the company that was coming over. Well, I appreciate Martha's dilemma. She's there, she's got company coming over, but it's not the visiting preacher. It's Jesus. It's His disciples. She's going to want to make sure that things are just as comfortable and ready and appealing to Jesus because of who He is. And she recognizes that He's her master, but she wants to make sure everything's just right so that Jesus and His disciples find their stay at her house comfortable. She had a dinner guest coming, but it wasn't just anyone. You know, if Jesus would come into your house for dinner, how much time, ladies and husbands, might you spend preparing all those physical things so that He's comfortable while He's there amongst your company? And if this was our story, would we be more like Martha, worried about all of those things, making sure everything's just right and everything's cleaned up and tidy and there's enough food? Or would we be more like Mary? We do relate to Martha, I believe. And as you kind of think about it, you can't help but feel a little bit sorry for her. She comes up to Jesus there, and you can hear the desperation in her voice. She's trying to make sure that everything's just right, that He and His disciples have enough to eat. She comes there in exasperation, and she asks Jesus for help. And He just whacks her some more. It seems like Mary's already spurned her once, leaving her to take care of all the stuff, and then Jesus is responsible. That's just more, heaping more up on top of her, isn't it? You know, you're distracted with many things, Martha. You need to sit down. You need to focus on those things that are really important. You need to listen. You can imagine perhaps Martha's reaction to hearing what Jesus had to say. I'm just trying to make sure that everyone's comfortable, that there's enough to eat. That's all that I'm trying to do. And it kind of seems, as you think of this story and as we read this account, it seems like Martha finds herself, doesn't it, spiritually sitting in the back seat to her sister, her younger sister, by the way, Mary. At least that's the way that I feel whenever I read about that. And you consider some of those other instances where Mary is mentioned. In Luke chapter 10, we just read, Mary, Jesus says, Mary has chosen that good part. And obviously Martha, she hasn't made that choice. And in John chapter 11, that's the account where we have Lazarus, and we're going to read a little bit about that in just a moment. But it's not Martha who moves Jesus to tears there in John chapter 11 at the graveside with Lazarus there in the tomb. It's Mary who comes out, and it's Mary whose emotional reaction in response to everything that's taking place brings Jesus to tears. In Mark 14, it's not Martha who there anoints Jesus' feet with this precious oil and washes His feet with her hair. That's Mary that we find there. And so as you read through and as you look at these two sisters, the picture that you kind of get is that Martha kind of sits back seat spiritually when it comes to her sister, Mary. And you can see Martha. There's Mary. There's my little sister. She's outshining me again. But this is Jesus' response whenever Mary then takes this precious ointment and washes Jesus' feet with it. This is a statement Jesus makes about Mary, sister of Martha. Assuredly I say to you, there in Matthew 26:13, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. That was Mary's memorial. Every time this gospel message is told, and we read about that, what Mary did, her sacrifice, her love, her devotion that culminates there in that experience as she's washing Jesus' feet and that she's sacrificing this precious ointment for Him, that's told in memorial of her. That's her legacy that she left behind. Martha left behind a legacy too, didn't she? But It's probably not the legacy that we see Mary having here, and probably not the one that she would want left behind. There's Mary always seeming to do the right thing, and there's me sitting backseat to her. And if any siblings are here, younger siblings, perhaps older siblings, you may know what it's like sitting backseat to one of the small. I'm not the smart one. Y'all should meet my little brother, by the way. I sit backseat to him. He's the smart one. He's the one in which all these great things are going to happen. But maybe you can relate to that a little bit to your siblings. And if my Martha, as all of these things are happening and all of these events are occurring, Mary outshines me again and again and again, I may find myself just a little bit demoralized, a little bit underappreciated. This story that we read about when we open God's Word, and as we consider Martha and her spiritual journey, God never promises that we're all going to have the same spiritual journey. He hasn't given us the same gifts. He hasn't given us the same responsibilities and the same talents. He hasn't provided us all with the same opportunities. Mary and Martha are obviously two very different people, and we're going to see that as we open up and as we read a little bit more about Martha and as we see her spiritual journey as her life goes on. We'll get a little bit of a feel for her personality. But did you notice one thing there in Luke chapter 10 where we just read? Whose house were they at? It happened when Jesus and his disciples got to the village. They weren't there at Mary's house. They were there at Martha's house. Martha welcomed him into her house. And what's the responsibility of someone who opens up their home for a guest? This woman who's welcomed Jesus into her house. Mary's there, but this isn't her house. She lives there. But this house belongs to Martha. She behaves more like a guest. And there's Martha who's obviously feeling that she's got the obligation to provide and to make things comfortable for Jesus and his disciples because this is her house and it's her responsibility. And the scripture doesn't really say whether Mary helped her or not, but it appears that at some point in time she did. Verse 40 that we read, when Martha goes to Jesus and she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Like Martha, Mary was helping about the house. She was helping take care of those perhaps more mundane things so that Jesus and his disciples might be comfortable. But it appears at some point in time she says, "You know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to go sit and I'm going to listen to Jesus." Because Martha says, "Well, she's left me alone to do all the serving." And Martha had a strong sense of injustice at what had taken place here. "I'm doing all this work and all Mary's doing, she's just sitting down there listening to you." Mary, however, seems to be able to see through all of this. Martha's overly involved in all of this stuff that's got to take place. She wanted everything to be just right. But she loved Jesus. Not much is obvious. And you might say that when Martha was serving Jesus, what she was doing was she was communicating her care and her dedication and her love to Jesus through these acts of servitude. And she was always serving. Let's turn to John chapter 11. Read another account where we find Martha and her sister Mary. Read a little bit from John chapter 11 this morning. Going to take a different angle on some different verses, though. You're familiar with the context, I'm sure. In John chapter 11, the sisters are gathered there, and Lazarus has become ill. And it's ended up Lazarus, if you remember, was the brother of Martha and Mary, who we spoke about. Lazarus has died. And so people have gathered together to mourn with these sisters and to pay their respects to Lazarus and to comfort his family. We find out a little bit more about Martha's personality as we read about her in this account. In John chapter 11 and verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. So you find out a little bit more about Martha as you read about her. Martha hears that Jesus is coming. What does she do? She immediately gets up. "I'm not going to wait for Jesus to get here. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go see Jesus." And I think that's what we see with Martha as we read and as we find out about her. She's not one content to just sit still. She's a go-getter. She's a doer. She's taking control. And he contrasts this to Mary, who just stayed inside the house. Martha's not content to do that. She goes out. She meets Jesus before he and his disciples get here. And you find out about her personality a little bit more when you read verse 39 of John chapter 11. Remember, Jesus arrives, and Lazarus is there in the tomb, and he says, "I want you to roll the stone away in preparation to restoring Lazarus back to life." It was Martha, and I almost have to wonder the courage that she had that Jesus, don't roll that stone away, Jesus. He's been dead 4 days. She's telling Jesus, no, don't do that. Jesus said, take the stone away, and Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. You don't need to roll that stone back. She's trying to tell Jesus what to do. She's a servant, but she likes to be in control. She's a go-getter. And so whether it's going to meet Jesus or telling him, you leave that rock there and don't roll it away, Mary is in control. And then we turn to chapter 12 after the event of Lazarus' resurrection. And we look at the first couple of verses there in John chapter 12. You find Martha, and what do you find her doing? She's once again serving. No surprise there. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. And there you have Martha. Verse 2. Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table and reclined. So once again, we find Jesus here before the Passover, Martha serving. But you know what? This time they're not at Martha's house. They're at the house of a man by the name of Simon the leper. What do you think Martha did if she came to your house? She started serving. That's the kind of woman that she was. Or if she came to my house, that's what she's going to do because that's the type of person she is. She's a servant. You turn over to Romans chapter 12, a brief aside here. Romans chapter 12, as Paul is speaking about these gifts that various people possess. And as you turn over there and you read about these gifts, there are certain things, talents and gifts and blessings that kind of stand out in our minds, some more than others. But he talks about Martha's gift here in Romans chapter 12, talking about us being members of one body in Christ. Individually, we're members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now when you stop and you think about some of these gifts, what gift do you think Martha had? It's pretty obvious as we read in John chapter 11. As we see in John and Luke chapter 10, Mary was a servant. And it's easy to think about Martha behind her sister. It's Mary who's always getting the limelight. But notice how Martha's referenced here in John chapter 11, verse 5. And this may not jump out at you until you stop and think about it. Stop and think about this. John chapter 11 and verse 35, as we're introduced to Lazarus and his sister, and Jesus is soon going to come and restore Lazarus to life, John simply tells us, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So here in this passage, we find these two women and their brother. And we're told about Jesus' relationship with this family. But it's interesting, Mary isn't called by name, is she? When this account's read, it says Jesus loved Martha. Well, Mary's not even mentioned. She's simply referred to as Martha's sister. That's kind of like me. I'm known well among our peers as Whitney's husband. That's just how I'm kind of known. Y'all need to fix that sign up there. The preacher spot's still blank. Y'all put Whitney's husband out there so people know who's preaching here whenever they're driving by. Maybe you can relate to feeling like that, though. You're known as so-and-so's mom or dad. Or you're known as so-and-so's spouse. And that's what we see right here as we're reading. You got Martha, and you got Martha's sister, indirectly referring to Mary. So we know that about Mary and Martha, and you see Jesus' relationship, that he loved them. He loved them both, and Martha's the one who kind of is the pointed at here in this text. And it'd be consistent as you read about these two Bible characters. You'd think that John would say, well, Jesus loved Mary and her sister, wouldn't you? Because it was Mary who was always in the limelight. It was Mary who was always doing the right thing. But that's not what we read. The Bible tells us, John records for us, Martha's the one mentioned by name. Mary is simply referred to as Martha's sister. But Jesus loved these three people very much. And then you read verse 6. So when he had heard that he, being Lazarus, was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Jesus loves these three people. That's what John tells us in verse 5, and that's the important point in verse 5. So whenever Jesus heard, rather than departing immediately, you always notice what he did? He tarried. You know how the story goes. He waited 2 days to pass. You know, the interesting thing is, Jesus was only about one day's travel away. He could have left after hearing that Lazarus was sick. In fact, they had sent word saying, Lord, the one that you love is ill, hoping that he'd come and hoping that he would heal him. Jesus waits 2 days. And in that time period of waiting, he could have been there to heal him. But in that time period, we see Lazarus dying. And you might say, why? Well, you go back over there and you read in John chapter 11, and the disciples ask him, Jesus, why'd you wait? And Jesus says, well, God is going to be glorified in this event. But I think that there's also more to it than that. You know, I think that there, when you read these two verses together, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was before departing for Bethany. See, Mary and Martha, they were in need of faith. They were in need of faith. Jesus loved these women. And so he waits. Well, yes, to bring glory to God, but I think also to help bring about a stronger faith in these two women that he loves. And you get over there to verse 20 in John chapter 11, verse 21. Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, she went and she met him. Mary was sitting at the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, and it's here in this verse that we read, Martha's the one that gets up. Martha's the one that goes to Jesus. And then Jesus then tells Martha in turn, you know, go bring Mary here as well. At this point in time, that these two women, the situation's reversed. We saw Mary earlier who chose the good part, but this time it's Martha who's doing the things that she should. Mary stayed in the house when she heard Jesus was coming. Martha gets up. She runs to meet Jesus. And notice here the reaction too. Whenever these two women get there, Mary then came to where Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, and she saw him and she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And then verse 35, we know that is the shortest verse in the Bible, says that Jesus wept. Now, the Jewish term for weeping, there's two different senses or multiple senses in which it could use. Speaking of Jesus, when it says Jesus wept, it's not the weeping that we see Mary doing. Those who were coming and weeping, who were groaning in spirit, and who were terribly upset by the circumstance. Mary to the point where her emotions have just overcome her, and she comes to Jesus crying her eyes out, saying, you could have healed him. You could have been here and made a difference. And Lazarus wouldn't have died. But Jesus, upon seeing their sadness, it says that Jesus wept. Tears came to his eyes. Martha came to Jesus, but no account here says that there were any tears in her eyes at all. But Mary just kind of emotionally, she falls apart here. And perhaps she sensed a little bit of disappointment in her voice. Jesus, if you'd have came earlier, if you'd have come when we called you, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. You could almost hear the disappointments that's there as she's speaking. Don't think Martha wasn't a woman of faith, though. Did you notice her reaction? As she's speaking there with Jesus, and Lazarus is already gone. And Jesus says, I just have faith. Just believe. And you look at Martha's response there in John chapter 11. Jesus says in verse 40, did I not say that if you believe, you see the glory of God? And he's going to show them that glory. And it's Martha, do you remember? It's Martha who says, Lord, I know that if you ask God, that God will let you bring him back from the dead. Well, that's her faith. That's her testimony of faith. You got Mary on one hand, who's there before Jesus, falling apart. You can hear the disappointment as she said, you could have been here, you could have saved him. But it's Martha then who says, Lord, I know that even now, Lazarus is dead, but you could say something. And if you ask God, then God would allow him to be brought to life. And you see there is, as Jesus speaks out, as he says, roll that stone away. And as he calls Lazarus forth from the grave, it was Martha who placed her confidence in Jesus' ability to bring her brother back, rather than Mary. Look, consider Martha's journey that we looked at a little bit. In Luke chapter 10, you've got Martha who's carried away with serving. In chapter 12, just a little bit later in the book of John, you've got Martha who's once again serving, as she was in chapter 11, as she was in Luke 10. Lazarus is there at the table, and here comes Mary, once again, with this very costly oil that she's going to use to anoint the feet of Jesus. Now, Martha is serving once again, as is her nature. But she's not overly fixated on this. You notice her response to everything that's taking place? She isn't going to Jesus saying, hey, would you tell Mary to help me? She's just doing what it is that she does best. She's serving Jesus. She's serving those who are there. She's accepted her sister for who she is. And the Lord wasn't trying to make clones of Mary. He recognized the importance of having people like Mary. But he also recognized the importance of having people like Martha, having people that were willing to serve. And so with that same Martha, with that very same initiative and that very same personality, she's made this great proclamation of faith. Lord, I know that if you pray to God, you can bring my brother back from the dead. And she's there, she's serving, and Mary is there anointing the feet of Jesus, and Judas is there complaining about the money that's being wasted, and you've got this oil that's spilled out all over the floor. Martha doesn't seem bothered by those things. This serves for us as a good lesson. It shows us what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is not caring about stuff, but a disciple is caring about people. In all of our life, there are important things that we have. They crowd on us, physical things. They crowd in on us. They scream for our attention. They scream for our time and for our efforts. And we find ourselves sometimes those quiet things, those truly important things of a spiritual nature. They're not begging for our attention. They're there quietly sitting in the corner, waiting for us to simply look at them, to simply recognize them. And she's here in this passage, Martha is serving. And Jesus didn't rebuke her. Jesus didn't say, you need to be more like your sister, because he realized we need people like Martha. He just simply said, Mary has chosen the good part. And what Jesus did, I believe, challenge her to do was to find balance in her life. She's overly fixated on physical things, on physical service. She needed to find a little bit of balance. And I think that's where we find her there in John chapter 12. As all of these other things are going on, she's not given over to her obsession. Everything's got to be perfect. But she finds herself there serving, doing what she can. An important lesson for us that we need to learn, that we need to be aware of, that we can take as we examine this woman and her life and the life of her sister. Don't let your time with God. Don't let your time with God be sacrificed for things, for stuff. As Jesus told Martha, one thing is needed. That is knowing God. That is learning at the feet of the Master. That's the most important thing that we can do. Now, as disciples, we have a responsibility to find our gift. Not to compare ourselves with others, not to say, well, I want to be more like so-and-so, but to realize the gift that God's given us and realize that we are individuals, but yet part of the same body. And we all can't play the same role. We can't all be Marthas and we can't all be Marys, but we need to find out what our gift is. And we just need to use that in service to God. Don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to the Lord and seek for the standard that He would give us from His Word. Keep whatever is most important, that is service to God. Most important, sit at the feet of Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Well, those times that you spend sitting and you spend talking to God, you spend learning from God as you read from your Bibles, there's nothing more important than that. That is what it means to be a disciple. If you're here this evening and you're not a disciple, you haven't made that commitment to give yourself to God, then you're missing out on the most wonderful thing that we have on this earth. The most wonderful thing that we will have when it comes to eternity. If you're not a disciple of Jesus this evening, recognize whatever your talent may be, and then just use that in service to God. Whether you're like Martha and it's serving others, or whether it's giving, or whether it's encouraging, or whether it's being compassionate, whether it may be teaching or preaching, whatever that talent may be, use it in service to others. All of us together, grow as a church. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that we're all to pull our own weight individually so that the church may grow based off of what every individual joint replies. Now, if we all had the same talent and all had the same ability, the church wouldn't grow. The church wouldn't function as it was intended. We need those differences in gifts. If you're here this evening and you're not a disciple, then I ask that you would consider these women here and consider the words that Jesus did speak to Martha, where he said there is one thing that's truly important. Mary has chosen that which is important. And so that choice lies before you this evening. Would you make that decision? Would you give your life to God? Would you choose that one important thing? You know, the world is crying out for our attention and our time, our jobs, our interests, our responsibilities in this world cry out for our attention, but Jesus says one thing's important. Mary chose the good thing. Would you choose the good thing this evening? Would you give your life to Jesus in service to Him? And yes, you've got all those other responsibilities to fulfill, but would you give your life to Jesus? Put Him first and let everything else just fall into place. If anyone needs to respond to the invitation at this time, whatever need that you may have, we would invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.